Good morning, everyone. As I've looked at this part of the Bible, I found that there's so much in just these two verses, in verses 19 and 20, on storing your treasures in heaven. That's really those two verses that I'll be focusing on this morning. So let me pray, invite you to keep your Bibles open, and let me ask God to help us with His word. Let's pray. Father, we pray that You would this morning work in our hearts and through the words that I speak. We pray that You would open the eyes of our hearts that we might see the infinite value and treasure that we have in Christ and in the gospel, that we might be moved once again and with greater intensity to live for You and You alone. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as 21st century shoppers, we are spoiled for choice, aren't we? We're no longer limited to going to the local department store or to the corner store to buy our goods. We can now buy almost any product from any part of the world from an endless number of shopping internet sites. We can buy almost anything at any price today, whether it's on Gumtree or eBay or any other shop you would like to buy from. Whether it's a phone, a car, a piece of clothing, anything that you want, you can buy. But though we are so spoiled for choice in this century, the principles for shopping remains the same, doesn't it? The same principles apply whether you were shopping in the first century or in the 21st century. And the principles are these. We want value for money. We want to be able to buy within our budget and what is value for money. We want to buy a product or a service that meets our need. There's no point spending money on something that is useless to us. Thirdly, we are looking for quality. Something that won't break down in the first week. Something that won't wash out after the first wash. Something that won't lose its elasticity after, the first wear. We want something that's reliable and of enduring value. And because we are concerned about value, product, and quality, we'll do the shopping around. We'll do the research. We'll read the reviews. We'll check the forums. We'll ask our friends. We'll invest the time to make the best choice possible for the best product at the best value at the best price. And what's true in terms of the principle of what we shop for and how we shop, Jesus actually teaches us in this passage something very similar to what we should apply to how we choose the thing that is of highest value to us, the thing that we most treasure in life, the thing that we are willing to pour our life and our energy and our money into. Jesus says, choose wisely. Make the best choice possible. Look at the value of what you are purchasing. Look at what it will give you. Look at the enduring value, the quality of the thing that you are giving yourself into, your highest treasure. The thing that we will spend most of our waking hours working for, thinking about, spending money on. Jesus says, be highly selective. And in this passage, there's three parts to it. And I'll only look at the first part, but let me give you a brief outline of what Jesus is saying in these three parts. Verses 19 to 20. Jesus says, store your treasures in heaven. Treasures that are imperishable. And then Jesus talks about the eye is the lamp of the body. And really Jesus is saying that when you look when you fix your eye on the right treasure, then you'll see clearly, you'll have light, you'll be walking in light. But if you fix your eyes on the wrong treasure that won't last, then you'll be in darkness. And even though you think you have light, how great is that darkness, Jesus is saying, that you have. It's worse to be self-deceived and think that you have light. And then lastly, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. In other words, when you know what your highest treasure is, when you're walking in the light, then give yourself with a single-minded devotion to that thing. Be single-minded, because God himself will tolerate no rivals to our ambition, our loyalty, our energy. So Jesus says, choose wisely what you will treasure most in life. And he begins with what not to treasure, what not to choose. Verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin, rats and cockroaches, etc., where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Do not choose the treasure that won't last, that is perishable, treasures that are on earth. All earthly treasures, Jesus says, are vulnerable to decay, to theft, to diminishing value, things that you ultimately can't take with you when you die. You can be the smartest person, the fittest man, the fastest man alive, but there will be a day when you'll be the slowest man alive, when you can no longer walk on your own two feet. You may have all the status and the fame in the world, and you may be a celebrity, but one day you'll be a memory of the past, a distant, forgotten memory. You may have all the wealth in the world, billions and billions of dollars, but in the end, all that wealth is ultimately insecure. In the last financial crisis, global financial crisis, one of the billionaires, apparently he accumulated wealth of about 90 odd billion dollars. At the end, struggled through the financial crisis to the point that he struggled with his debts and he committed suicide. Because all of his life had been invested in his wealth, which was instantly wiped out. You can't take it with you when you die. Do not store your treasures on earth that are perishable. And it's not to say that we shouldn't work hard or we shouldn't plan for the future or provide for our family. The Bible actually teaches a godly work ethic of planning and working and of providing. But what Jesus is teaching here is that it is our attitude. The issue is not what you have, it's your attitude to what you have. Don't make it your greatest treasure. Don't live as if it is the person with the most toys at the end of your life who wins. Whatever we work for, Jesus says, we're actually to view as a piece of clothing or a slice of sushi. There's beautiful sushi out there for everyone who hasn't tried it yet afterwards. But know that this is how we should treat the possession of this earth. They're God's good gifts. We're to enjoy it now, but we're not to stake our life in it. Because one day it will go moldy. One day it will be eaten up. One day it will wear away and you'll throw it off your back. And Jesus says, enjoy what you have, but enjoy it as a piece of clothing that one day you'll give away. Nothing of this earth that we pursue has lasting value. One of the richest men alive, in the ancient world was a man called Job that he's written about in the Bible. And he had masses of sheep, masses of cattle, a large property, and a huge family. And at the beginning of the story of Job, we're told how in one day he experiences financial disaster. Everything is destroyed, everything is stolen, and even his kids die. And at the end of it, all he could say, all he could recognize is, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord has given, and the Lord has taken away." And ultimately, it is his right to take it away. It is his right to give, and it is his right to take it away. So Jesus says, be highly selected. Make the best choice. And this is what you should not choose as your highest treasure. Know what not to choose. And for those who do, you know, we all want more money, don't we? We want better clothing. We want a better car and a better phone. We're all striving after these things. But if we do, it's a bit like this. If this is where we place our ultimate value in life, then it's a bit like a child who is playing on the sand, building a beautiful sandcastle, a nice moat, a drawbridge, high towers. And this child is so invested in it that when the next wave wipes it out, he's hysterical, uncontrollable, in anger and outrage and bitterness. But this child forgets that he belongs to a family that owns a $1 million mansion overlooking that beach. And that's what it's like to store your treasures on earth in things that are perishable, that will be wiped out in an instant. And Jesus says, make a better choice. Verse 20. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Choose the treasure that is in heaven, because that treasure, he says, is imperishable. It can never be lost. It can never lose its value. It is kept in heaven for you. God himself, for those who have come to know him through Christ, guarantees our future inheritance that is imperishable and unfading in its glory. It can never be lost or stolen or devalued. And Jesus is not very explicit here about what the heavenly treasures are, but we are given clues within these few chapters. We're given clues as to what they are. And I want to point out to you three key treasures that we are to value. Three treasures that we are to store up for ourselves. And the first is this: your citizenship in heaven. Storing up your treasures in heaven means seeing the infinite value of your citizenship in heaven. Chapter 5, verse 3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Verse 10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven." See, though a person may suffer, you may suffer persecution or loss or hardship in this life, Jesus says, consider yourself blessed. Consider yourself having the best life, because yours is the kingdom of heaven. You are a member of the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. You have citizenship there. What's of greater value than anything on earth is our membership. Our membership in the family of God. See, you and I, we're not just citizens, we're children. You and I are the children of God. And that there's no name, no honor, no title, no knighthood, no PhD, nothing that anyone can give you that would be a higher name than the name that God has given to those who come to Him through Christ. As we come to Him and as He gives us His Spirit and adopts us as His children, God says, Jesus says, store your treasures in heaven. Know how great your heavenly treasures are. See the infinite value of your citizenship in heaven. Secondly, I move on to your future joy in heaven. See the infinite value of your future and eternal joy in heaven. See, a Christian is prepared to suffer loss. It's prepared to suffer persecution. Prepared to suffer, to lose all things for Jesus' sake, out of their service and devotion to God, because they know that their future joy far outweighs any present suffering that you can experience in this life. Again, in chapter 5, verse 11, this is what Jesus says. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. In the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. See, great is your future reward. It will be far outweigh whatever you suffer in this life. Paul says something very similar in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. It's already there. So he says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Our present sufferings are nothing, he says. Nothing in comparison. And when Paul says that, he doesn't say that lightly. He talks in Romans 8 about the sufferings of this world, the groanings of the whole of creation. And Paul himself knew suffering firsthand. He was rejected by his own people, persecuted, hunted down like a criminal, lashed and whipped, stoned, shipwrecked, going hungry and destitute. Paul knew suffering at the most intense level. He was hunted like a terrorist in his own country. And Paul says, our present sufferings are nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed in us when Christ returns, when He brings in, when he brings in the new heavens and the new earth. When He Himself reveals His glory and His power and His greatness, and all God's people surround Him, worshipping and praising Him. And Jesus says, your future glory is infinitely greater than any pleasure and any pain that you can experience in this life. Store your treasures in heaven. One thing that's very easy for us to forget, especially in the developed world in the 21st century, where we have so much provided for us, so much healthcare, so much education, so much technology, we are so spoilt for choice that we think the best choice is here in this earth, on this planet, in this city. And we forget who we are, that we are travelers in this world, and that we're on our way home. Don't you and I constantly forget that? You and I, we're travelers in this world, and we're on our way home. And a traveler, if they know that they're not yet home, is willing to put up with minor inconveniences. You're willing to live with cramped conditions. with lower quality food, with less space to run around, with clothes that are unwashed and smelly. We're travelers in this world. And if you're someone who, if you forget that, and if you store your treasures here on this earth, then what you're saying is that your final destination is here. Right here and right now. But if you store your treasures in heaven, then you know that your final destination is the eternal glory and the home that God has prepared for all his people. A beautiful mansion overlooking a beautiful beach within a brand new heavens and an earth, a brand new universe. Store your treasures in heaven means living in anticipation and eagerness of that future glory and joy. And thirdly, storing your treasures in heaven is seeing the infinite worth of your Father in heaven and living therefore for his plans and for his purposes in the world. Again, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve two masters. Money, wealth, power, pain pale into insignificance compared to the infinite worth of the God who created the universe out of nothing and who continues to sustain every part of this creation. And all creation one day, we are told, will worship him. All creation will worship him together in the most beautiful harmony possible, in the great orchestra, the great symphony of heaven. And praise and acknowledge the worthiness of this great God who is our Father in heaven. And the God that we worship is not just our Father in heaven, but we are also told at the end of Matthew 28, of the book of Matthew, that he's a God who's now working his purposes out. Jesus, after his death and his resurrection, as he appears to his disciples, one of his final moments, do you remember what he says? All authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and commanding them to obey everything that I have taught you. See, this is God's master plan. It is to make disciples of all the nations. It is to make himself known. It is to reveal his glory, his goodness, his salvation, his promises. It starts with those who already know him, bringing transformation, bringing us to Christ-likeness. Living for God's approval, not human approval. Reflecting his character in our lives to the people around us. And in that context, to share the great love of God for all people. To help others know and follow Jesus. And that is part of our vision as a church, is to make... It is to win as many as possible who know and live for the glory of Jesus. Because that is a cause worth living for and worth dying for. Worth giving up everything for, to save even one. To bring even one to know the greatness and the glory of God. This is the purpose of all of God's people, and of every one of the churches that are Bible-believing and that has the gospel at the center. It is our vision as a congregation here in Burwood to be a local church that reaches local people. A church for all people and for all life stages. And for us to fulfill this vision, it means that we can never become comfortable. We can never become comfortable within this beautiful space and within this beautiful community. And a lot of us are comfortable, aren't we? We're so privileged with a great team and a great space and a great morning tea and a great lunch afterwards. And we enjoy each other's company. But it's easy to become comfortable. So comfortable that we forget the infinite worth of the Father we worship and His plans and purposes to see the nations come to know Him, to trust Him and obey Him. And what I prefer is that we learn to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. That we become comfortable with being uncomfortable within this church. And we're uncomfortable because we're constantly welcoming new people. We're constantly seeking to reach out and to find new ways to reach our lost community. We're constantly welcoming new people with whom we do not have a natural connection with. And we're comfortable with being uncomfortable because we want to love them, not because we connect easily or even speak their same language. But we do it for the glory of God and because of the love of Christ that you and I have already experienced. Because we see the infinite worth of our citizenship, of our future joy, and of our Heavenly Father. And we remember that this infinite treasure we've been given has been given to us not because we deserve it, not because we earned it. It's because it is when we least deserve that God poured out His greatest gift possible, His one and only Son, to die for our sins, to rise again and to call out a new community who follows Him. And so this heavenly treasure comes to us poured out of the endless generosity of God. And He says, value what I have given you by storing this treasure up in your life, in your thoughts, with your time, with your energy, with your money. Be a steward of everything God has given you and use it all for His purposes. Stop storing up treasures that are perishable and fade and they will ultimately be destroyed. Start storing up treasures in heaven that can never lose its value. I want to finish with a poem that reminds us of our identity here in this world and where we're heading. But before I do that, I want to give you three points of application to help us to... 3 points of application that we really need to work out ourselves with God and ourselves in the context of our community groups. And here's the three points. The first is, as we hear God's word this morning, we need to reassess, we need to examine which treasures we are currently storing up for ourselves. What treasure are you storing? And how you know that it is by examining your thought life. What is it that you dream about most? What is it you think about most? What is it that you do most? What is it that you worry about most? What is it that you are building your identity on, and that if that was taken away, we'd destroy you. What are you storing your treasures in right now? Secondly, you need to decide which treasure you will live for. You need to make a decisive and clear decision about what will be your greatest treasure. And you need to keep making that decision. Once you've made it, keep making that decision every day. And thirdly, you need to decide what you need to do in order to realign your thoughts, your priorities, your energy, and your values so that every part of your life is submitted to that great treasure. That the thing that is the center of gravity in your life that you have decided is your greatest treasure. And let that be the treasures in heaven that God has offered to you in Christ. Then you need to keep realigning everything, every part of your life, your thoughts, your energy, your time, your priorities, your friendships, so that you can live according to the treasure that you have decided to commit yourself to. And then pursue that with a single-minded devotion that is worthy of the glory and the greatness of God and all that He has kept in store for us. Live a life worthy of Him. Here's the poem that's worth us knowing and even memorizing. This is the two verses of a longer poem that reminds us that we are travelers in this world and we have an ultimate destination. Forever with the Lord. Amen, so let it be. Life from the dead is in that word. 'Tis immortality. Here in the body pent, absent from Him I roam. Yet nightly pitch my moving tent, a day's march nearer home. Let's pray. Father, we thank You and we praise You for Your endless generosity. Generosity to those who least deserve it. Lord, You show Your generosity day by day to those who know You and to those who don't know You. You cover the earth with Your rain. You fill us with joy through the sunshine. You give beauty to the whole of creation and things for us to enjoy. You give creativity to every one of us. And all of these things are Your great gifts. And yet, Lord, You remind us that there is a greater and more lasting joy that we have, that all of these things support really and point to the greatest treasure that we have that You've already given to us in Christ, and that You'll help us to experience in the most perfect way possible when He returns. Lord, we pray that You would help us to once more taste how good You are, and therefore be willing to submit everything, every comfort and every pain, to give ourselves more and more fully, to live for Your glory and to make You known to more and more people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.